Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu Rasul al-Kareem. By the way, I'm being bothered by one sheikh over here. Muhammad Sayyid Adli with us. Alhamdulillah. We have Mutar Sabri is here and everybody's here. And this is the place for learning and sharing Islam. You might wonder, you know, where is a good place to learn about Islam? People ask me all the time, what country should I go to? And I say, for what? They say, for good knowledge. I say, what language do you speak? They say, well, I speak English. I say, well, you're already here. This is a place. You don't have to go anywhere. What do you want to go somewhere for? Because many of the good scholars already came to this country. They can't stay in their country. They'll get put in jail. So don't run away thinking you can get better knowledge somewhere else. You can get knowledge right here in the United States of America. I'm sorry. I got these new teeth and I'm still working out some of the sounds. Alhamdulillah. Is that funny? So, anyhow, alhamdulillah. We just came from Augusta, Georgia. The imam there did just a beautiful job. We really enjoyed his program there. He was talking to us on the subject of the relationship between Abu Bakr and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was mentioning the beautiful relationship between the two of them. Then after that, I couldn't help but mention the relationship, you know, that we have with each other as brothers. Brothers and sisters in Islam, they do have such a bond, you know, and such a responsibility and such a relationship that it's not something small. It's something very, very big. And I thought, well, I'd like to continue just forward and bring into the next level and continue also with the idea of what is Islam. We talked about Islam is having peace in the word. We mentioned it has in it also submission, obedience, surrender to Allah. But we also mentioned the concept of what is Islam. If you ask me, what is the concept? The concept, you do what Allah wants you to do. You say, yeah, I know, but help me out here. Give me an overall. Overall. Two words. Rights. Limitations. That help you understand Islam real fast. Islam is about rights and limitations. You want to explain Islam to other people, they don't listen very close. So you have to keep everything real short for them. You know what I'm saying? Tell them, they say, what's Islam? Obey God. Give me the concept, rights and limitations. They make it easy. Make it understandable. Because these people, in 30 seconds, they can sell you a $40,000 automobile on TV. Am I right? So you got to make your words count with these folks. You can't be standing and then they don't know what you said. Get to the point. What's Islam? Islam is obey God. Okay, give me a concept on that. Rights and limitations. And now who's the first right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has the first right. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us in a good hadith, he said, do you know what is Allah's right on his servant? They don't know. They're going to ask the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell him. He said, it's Allah's right on his servant that the person not worship anybody but Allah. Now, by the way, that means to follow Muhammad in the Quran and to do what Islam is telling you to do and don't do what Islam tells you not to do. It's not that difficult to figure it out. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. Okay? That's Allah's right. Not to worship anybody other than Allah. But then look what he said after that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, but you know what? The servant's right is on Allah. If they do that, they're going like, whoa, we get rights. Oh yeah, you get rights on Allah. He's that Allah will not punish them. Don't you want Allah not to punish you? I don't want Allah to punish me. And there's a very simple statement. The rights of Allah on the servant, don't worship anybody but Allah. The rights of Allah on the servant of Allah, on Allah, if they do that, then Allah will not punish them. So that's the first rights. Somebody came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's asking, what's the rights after Allah's rights and your rights? Meaning that the Prophet has rights too. So this, now we say, well, the Prophet has rights? Absolutely. The Prophet Muhammad, he has the right to be followed. And if you said, well, how did you get that? Where's that? Is that in the Quran? Ati Allah wa ati Rasul. Obey Allah and obey the messenger. Oh, it's an order from Allah. Okay. Qul in kuntum tuhibun Allah fattabi'uni yubikum Allah. say if you really love Allah, this is what Allah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell us, if you really love Allah, then follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then Allah will love you. I want Allah to love me. How you get that? You follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he'll forgive your dhunubukum, your sins. Wa huwa, and Allah, he is the what? Al-Ghafur Rahim. He's the forgiver, the merciful. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So the Prophet has rights also on us. And if somebody doesn't follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can they say they're all Muslim? So alhamdulillah, this now makes some sense to us. We see the logical order. So this one, he came anyway, he said, who has, after Allah's rights and your rights, in other words, after Allah and his messenger, who has the most rights on me? Wa qala Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your mother. Your ummah. Who's your ummah? Your mother. He said, okay, then who? He said, your mother. He said, and then who? He said, your mother. And then your father. So now it becomes even more clear to us that this is something most serious and not something lightweight. That all of us, we have to give the rights to Allah, worship Him alone. Rights to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is follow Him. Rights to our mother and our father. And I'm going to stop right there. There's more rights. It keeps going. This is beautiful. It goes all the way out even to the rights that plants have on you. Plants have rights. Don't laugh. It's against the Islamic law to destroy life that you have no need to destroy. Like little small creatures and even little crickets and little bugs and things. So we were way ahead, 1,400 years ahead of these people, worried about the ecology, worried about animal rights, worried about the rights of dogs and cats and all the rest of it. All of us, we know that there are rights. Even plants have rights on us. SubhanAllah. But now tonight I want to just talk on the subject of mom and dad. What's the rights of mom and dad? And you just heard that. Right after Allah and His Messenger is the rights of your mother, then your father. But it doesn't mean the mother gets three times as much rights as the father. By the way, it was to make emphasis because in those days, by the way, the people were jahil. They were ignorant. And they didn't give women their proper rights. They didn't give their mother their proper rights. They said foul things, actually, which were not good. And the Prophet ﷺ is bringing a clear message. Allah is bringing a clear message to show what? The status, the high status and honor and dignity of the lady. And especially who? Your mother. Now I want to share something with you. I want you to think about it. Many of you, you talk about your parents want you to do this or that and you don't want to do it. A lot of the youth, they send me emails and they say, my parents want me to do this, but I don't want to do that. How do they have any right to tell me what to do? And I heard also, they said, well, my parents want me to get married to somebody, but I want to get married to my boyfriend or my girlfriend or whatever. And I'm saying to you, right in front of the camera, Zakhala Khair, I'll take a break for this. Zakhala Khair. We can bring it closer, if that's better. Is that okay? Okay. So I'm asking myself. I'm asking myself about this question. How am I with my parents? When I first came into Islam, both my parents were still alive. Now they passed away. But at that time, I got the wrong idea. I had this idea. I'm in Islam now. You know what? I'm going to cut off my relation with all the kuffar. Because some people told me you have to do that. If you know anybody's kafir, don't even talk to them. This is too extreme. Actually, this is not the way of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He did continue to talk to the kuffar after he became a prophet, didn't he? If he didn't, there wouldn't have been any Muslims. Because he was the only one. So obviously he kept talking to the kuffar, right? But he didn't take them as his darlings. He didn't take them as the ones that are going to give him advice on how to run his business. That makes sense. But at the same time, he didn't cut off the relationship of the womb, as it's called, or the kinship of your close ones. So this is a big mistake. So some of you come into Islam, don't cut off the relationship with your parents. Now, of course, if they're Muslim, you can't do that. But I'm saying even if they're not Muslim, you got to stay with it. You know what I'm saying? So the parents have rights. How much rights do they have? Let me show you something. I want you to think about this. It's not a joke. It was a hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us about the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail. The way the hadith goes is that Ibrahim, you know, he was a long way of living, or far away from his son, and he traveled and journeyed to go to the area where his son was, which is, by the way, near Mecca. And when he went there to see his son, he wasn't home. So a lady came to the door. It was the wife of his son, which means that's his daughter-in-law. But she doesn't know him because they got married when he wasn't there. So he doesn't know. He knows her because obviously you're the wife of my son, but she doesn't say that. He knocked on the door. And he asked her, how's everything? And she said, oh, first he asked, where is Ismail? He said, he's not here. Where is he? Well, he's out doing whatever, hunting, whatever. How are things? Things are hard. Things are tough. We have too many problems. Blah, blah, blah. He said, oh, okay. Well, tell him he needs to change his doorstep. And he left. When Ismail came home, and he asked how's things going, whatever, she says, oh, this old man came. Oh, really? Tell me about it. She said, it's some old man. He came and asked about you. I said you weren't here. And then he said for you to change your doorstep. He said, that was my father. And he was telling me to divorce you. Whoa. Of course he did. And then what? And then another time, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he came. And a new wife was there. She answered the door. Ismail is here? No, he's out doing whatever, you know, hunting. Okay. How are things? She said, Alhamdulillah. Everything is from Allah. Alhamdulillah. He said, tell him to firm up his doorstep. So he left. Ismail came back. He asked, anybody come while I'm gone? Something like this, you know. And she's telling him, oh, this nice old man, he came and he was telling that you should firm up your doorstep. He said, that was my father. He's telling me to keep you as my wife. Now, this has a lot in this story. I prefer you to learn it from the scholars and listen to the exact translation from the Arabic. It's just to give you the meaning. But by the way, you know, in Islam, you can have more than one wife. Even in the Bible, it's mentioning more than one wife. Even Ibrahim, he had more than one wife. In fact, the mother of Ismail is Hajar, which is the second wife of Ibrahim, right? So very clearly, if he wants his son just to get another wife, he would have said that, but he said no. But he didn't say get another wife. What he said was get rid of the one you have. So it means your parents have big rights on you. Big rights. Sometimes in these societies, these people get this idea that they have this relationship with their wife or the husband, they don't have to listen to their parents anymore, you know? Because this is what the Bible tells them. When you get out of the home, you cleave to the husband and you just cut off everything else. Or cleave to your wife and cut off everything else. I mean, stick to them, you know? We don't have that way. We don't have that in Islam. You're always bonded to your parents. I don't care if you're 100 years old and your father's 120. He's still your father. You have to give the rights to him. Now, what will happen if you think, well, I don't have to? Look at this. Ibrahim, alayhi salam, he made dua for his father. And his father's not even a Muslim. He loved him so much. He making dua until Allah let him understand that you don't do that. Because why? Because when a person has made it clear to Allah, or Allah, of course, already knows, but it's clear this person's not going to repent from it. He's going to die this way. He's not here anymore. He can't repent after he dies. So you don't pray for those people. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he loved somebody too. His uncle. His uncle died, but he's kafir. He's not a Muslim. And he said, I will pray for him until Allah shows me something. What did he show? He showed the very story about Noah alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam, that they also had this love for somebody, but Allah saying, that's it. Once they're dead, that's it. Finished. You don't make dua for them. You don't do nothing. And this happened to me. My mother, she died without Islam. She died saying God is three. Doesn't work. Allah said in Quran, he does not forgive anybody makes partners with him. But anything else he can forgive. Now some of us, we made some mistakes, especially with our parents. And now is the best time to start working on that, right this minute. If your parents, one or both of them, are still alive, realize that this is the source for you to go to Jannah. The clear hadith, and there are too many, but I'll mention one for you. The one where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stepped on the step of the minbar, he said, Ameen. Then he stepped on the next step and he said, Ameen. Then he stepped on the next step and he said, Ameen. And then he came off the minbar and they said, they're like, what's going on, you know? He said, well, you didn't see Gabriel, Jibril alayhi salam. Jibril alayhi salam, he came to me and he was showing me this, and he explained that there's dua or supplication of Jibril being made, and the Prophet is saying Ameen to it. And well, the first supplication is that Allah is asking for anybody whose parents grew old in their lifetime and they took care of them, that they will have the Jannah. No, it's the opposite. Was it positive or negative? Do you remember? Yes, it's the negative side. Yeah, in other words, that the curse is going to be on the one who their parents grew old in their lifetime and they didn't give them the right treatment. Therefore, they're cursed. And Rasulullah said, Ameen. Ameen to what? A curse. And also the one who goes through Ramadan and he doesn't get forgiven because he didn't fast the Ramadan. Is that right? It was all negative on each one. And he said, Ameen. And then the one who hears Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he doesn't say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's salatu wa sallam? He doesn't say peace and blessing be upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said the curse is on them. And what did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Ameen. So this means three conditions you definitely don't want, because Jibril made dua and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Ameen. For what? A curse. And the one I'm talking about today, of course, is not Ramadan, so we're not talking about fasting, but we're focusing real hard on this, the rights your parents have. Take care of your parents, even if they're not Muslim. Read Suratul Luqman. Did you know chapter 31 in the Quran? Read it. Take your time, go real slow. Look at the Arabic and look at the English. Take your time and think about what is Allah talking about here. When Luqman is talking to his son and telling him the first rule is what? La ilaha illallah. Don't worship anybody but Allah, of course. But then immediately after that is the treatment of the parents. Now, everybody's with me, right? I'm keeping this as simple as I possibly can. Plain English, not too complicated. Take care of your parents. Now, I'm going to share a story with you before I end, because we're at the end of the program already. Alhamdulillah. This is a fact that happened to me. I mentioned about my mother. The good news, I used to make a lot of dua for my father, and he entered into Islam, alhamdulillah. I was so happy. My father became a Muslim. And then he became very decrepit, and he lost his mind totally to Alzheimer's disease. Alhamdulillah, he lived with us until he died. But sometime before he died, well, he could still remember some things. I used to go in and see him. He'd say, oh, it's Sonny Boy. He used to call me Sonny Boy. You know? And he used to say, there is my favorite son in whom I'm well pleased. Well, I'm his only son, so that's pretty easy. But he was always joking, you know. And one time, my dad was sitting in his chair rocking. He loved to rock in his chair, you know. And I'm at the computer working on the internet. As most of you know, we have the website islamtomorrow.com. You like the way I sneak commercials into my talks? That's pretty good, huh? islamtomorrow.com. I'm working on our website, which is open 24 hours a day, by the way. Plenty of free parking. So, anyhow, while I'm doing this and enjoying the evening, it's very quiet. All of a sudden, this racket breaks out in the kitchen. Such a clamor, so much noise, and it's my two daughters fighting with each other, who is going to do the dishes? That's not my turn, it's your turn, yes it is, no it's not, it's not, yes it is, no it's not, yes it is, no it's not, I did them last night, it was your turn last night to do it, because you didn't do it the night before, and that's still your turn, no it's not, yes it is, no it's not, yes, I'm going, oh my God, what is this? And I couldn't think anymore. I said, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to go into the kitchen and throw open those big, you know, the doors swing. And when I do, you know what's going to happen? They're going to stop immediately as soon as the door moves. I'm going to say, what's going on in here? You know what they're going to say?
Nothing.
Huh? Is that what's going to happen? I already know. I'm on my way to the door to open it, and I realize when I get there, they're just going to say,
we're okay. Nothing.
And then when the door shuts, I told you we're going to get in trouble. Yeah, you did. It's all your fault, you know. And I can't take it. So I'm thinking, they're just kids. So I went over to my father, and I was looking at my father, and he's smiling, looking up at me, and I'm thinking, you know what? I probably gave him a hard time, you know. That's probably why Allah is giving me such a hard time now. Let me go over there and give my father a big hug. And I did. I gave him such a big hug, and I kissed him right on the forehead, and he smiled, and he looked up at me, and I said, I love you. And he said, I love you. And I went over and I sat in my chair and I started working on the internet again. I felt really good. Pretty soon the door opened to the kitchen. And I heard somebody coming up behind me. Arms went around me. And somebody kissed me on the forehead and said, Daddy, I love you. And she left and went to her room. And then a little while later the door opened again. Arms came around me again. Somebody kissed me on top of the head. Daddy, I love you. Now, they didn't know that I had just kissed my father and said that. But Allah knew. My father died after that, but you know something? I remember my father so much, and I think, I wish I would have just done more for my father. Especially when I'm having difficulty with my children. I wish I could have done more for my parents, because I'm sure that the problems that I'm having with them is simply because I wasn't good enough to my parents. But I try my best to encourage my children, don't do to your kids what I'm doing to you. And I mean by that, be good to your parents even if you don't agree with them. Even if you think they don't know what they're talking about. Even if you haven't, you know what I'm saying? If you are convinced I'm right and they're wrong, still give the good respect, the honor, the dignity to your parents. Otherwise, Allah can give you kids that'll make you crazy. Don't make your parents crazy, because promise that it'll be worse for you. You must honor your parents. And this is one of the critical points in the monotheistic religion. And by the way, I'm going to mention, because I used to preach from the Bible, I can't help but know what it says there too. I'm not telling you go read the Bible. You don't need to. You got the Quran. That corrects all the mistakes from the Bible. But the Bible starts out very clear telling the people about commandments. It has commandments about worship. Four commandments all about ibadah. And then what do you think comes next? The commandment about the parents. Honor your mother and your father. Honor your parents. And it's very clear about the kind of curse that will be on people who don't honor their parents. This is for the Jewish. And for the Christians who say, oh yeah, but that's canceled. We don't follow that anymore. That's not what their book said. Jesus said. I'm not going to argue about their book except to tell you it's agreeing with my book. Where it agrees with my book, why would I argue? But according to what they have, it says that Jesus told them, you have to follow the commandments. Think not, he says, that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but rather to fulfill. And not until all things are accomplished shall one dot or jot or iota be in any wise lessened. And whoever, listen to what he said, whoever breaks the least, smallest commandment and teaches this, he'll be the least in the next life. But whoever keeps the commandments and teaches that, he'll be the highest in the next life. So we see constantly what? Commandments. Follow the commandments. Follow the commandments. And what's the commandment? Worship God without any partners. Thou shalt not have any other God beside me. Number one. Number two, it tells them no images, no statues, nothing in this world that you're going to copy like a little this or a little that and start worshiping those things. Don't make images. Don't have any images even in your mind of what God is like. Don't do that. Number two is that one. Number three tells them, don't take God's name in vain. We know Allah has 99 names. Be careful how you talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, don't forget about worship. You have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on His day. That's what it says for them. And their New Testament doesn't give them any new license to quit that. And for us, look to the Quran, the same thing. You have to worship Allah alone without any partners. And then what? Family always comes right after that. Take care of your family. Allah promises your family will be a trial for you, a test for you. But so what? Don't fail it. That's the whole point. And if you said, well, I just cut off my family, what are you, trying to skip the test? Huh? Because if you cut off your family, you're saying, I want to skip this test. Well, what happens in the university if you skip the finals? It's called you fail. Don't cut off your family. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of his names means the one who joins the families back together. Joins the people back together. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those people that wake up to this beautiful message of the value of our parents, the value of our family in Islam, before it's too late for all of us. Ameen. We ask Allah for the good of this life and the good of the next life. Ameen. We'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for what we did in the past, but guide us to do better. Ameen. And we ask Allah, don't punish us with the fire. Ameen. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Ameen. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmah innaka antal wahhab. Allahumma inni dhalamtu nafsi dhulman katiran wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Faghfir li maghfirtum min indika warhamni innaka antal ghafurur rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. Ameen. You're watching Islam Tomorrow. This is a live broadcast. For a rebroadcast of this and other exciting programs, visit us on the internet at www.islamtomorrow.com. Our websites are open 24 hours a day and plenty of what? Free parking. All right. Until next time, this is Yusuf Estes, the National Muslim Chaplain, reminding you that it's only Allah that guides, and we always pray for His guidance. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.